Good morning. Who is made today? The Lord. We know that verse, don't we? This is the day that the Lord hath made. I look around and I see smiles. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice that we can gather here together. For what reason? To give God the honor and the glory for the crop that we've had this year, for other things. So today morning, I all bid you a hearty welcome. I don't know if there's guests in the midst, but if there are guests in this midst here today, a hearty welcome to you as well. As we fellowship together in God's word, you've come this morning. My wish is not to hear the pastor, who he is, but the message that has been laid upon me to give to you, and the message from God. May God bless us this morning as we fellowship in his word together to praise and honor him for that all. Amen. Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning, we want to make ourselves mindful again of the summer we've had. At the beginning of the year, or the beginning of the summer, we call it spring, many of us have taken the time to put a seed into the ground, whether it's in our garden, whether it's out on the field, but a seed was planted. We know that we had to do our part. We needed to put the seed in physically, but Lord, we depended on you to do your part and to cause that seed to sprout and come forth out of the ground and to bring bountiful. Has everyone been blessed? Have we as a nation been blessed? Some of us may say our crops were not that great this year. But in all honesty, are we thankful for the small that we got? Are we still praising you? And being mindful of Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Lord, today we want to bless you. We want to praise you for what you have given us. And we pray that you would be with us this morning. Be with the song leaders, as Brother Pete already prayed for them. We pray that again, Lord, that you be with them. Grant them strength in their voices and everyone that's here today, that with our voices we can sing glory to you and that you can be honored and praised. We pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Take your red hymnal and turn to 245. Lord, have of me supreme control. 245.
Lord, have of me supreme control through all my earthly days. To thee, all majesty and power, my homage and my praise. Yea.
61, Take Time to Be Holy. Number 361.
Thank you. What beautiful songs you have chosen this morning to lead us in. Thank you so much. God bless you for leading in that, and the rest of you for singing along. Thank you so much. As you may have noticed this morning, in my prayer, I actually chose the text that I wanted to share this morning, and I used it as part of my prayer. Psalms 103. Verses 1, but I will go on through till verse 5 this time. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. And ask ourselves a question when we're going through this. Let's ask ourselves, do we mean this? Is this something that would come from our heart and our mind and our soul? Bless the Lord, O my soul. You and I have a soul. Are we giving him a blessing? Are we being a blessing to him? Are we speaking this out truthfully from the heart? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, everything, not part of it, but fully. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, all the things that God has for us, including fully the part of salvation, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. These are the benefits that you and I have when we have Christ, who forgiveth thine iniquities, who healeth thy distresses, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord. We've had, as much as we do not want to talk about our time of life that we have to go through, but we've had an interesting last year, year and a half. And I've asked myself the question, through this time that we've had this summer, and our crops have probably been one of the poorest, we could say, probably in the last, I don't know, number of years. We've had some rough crops, yes, but compared to the last number of years, it's been probably the roughest crop. And though when I do my calculation, and if my math is still good from the school that I went to, and that was Nerville, I always brag about the school, they taught me math very well. I still say that, all in all, the crops being half what they normally would maybe were, but the prices are double. And a lot of times when you do some of the math on some of the crops that people have had this year, and yes, they are maybe better in some areas in the southeastern corner of Manitoba. There's been some pretty good crops there, the rains going through. But if we think of some of them even getting half, as I said, and the prices, they're almost to the same amount as what they would have made on an average year. Pretty close. So what do? Our human nature is to sit and gripe and complain about the crop we had. Or maybe even our human nature might be to go on living in sin and not recognizing that God is speaking to us. Psalm David has gone through quite a life. Psalm David was often looked down on. He was as I understand it, he was a short fellow. They even made fun of him when he was coming to take the challenge about with Goliath. We could say, in a sense, the father had somewhat, maybe we could say, forgotten about David. He was out in the field taking care of the sheep when he was to be spoken of being or to be anointed as a king. And when he was asked for, is this all the boys you have? Then David's father all of a sudden thought of, yes, I have one more boy. He's out in the field. And he called him in, and he was the one that was anointed. He didn't have much stature. David was one that knew God. He knew right from wrong. David had wisdom, and David also had an army that could outdo Saul's army. And there was praises being sung that David would slew 10,000s above 10,000s, while Saul was a lot less. Greed came into Saul, hatred, and to the point of Saul wanting to kill or trying to kill David. But was that all? David committed sin. David committed adultery. But you know, the adultery itself was not accounted against him. The scripture teaches us that the murder that he committed, having this husband to Bathsheba killed, was committed against him. If we go back to Psalm 51, we will see how he pleads with God and he asks that he could be healed. But he also recognizes in the first couple of verses of Psalm 51, he recognizes there and he says that he acknowledges, he sees the things that he's done, but he begs God, have mercy upon me, verse 1 of Psalm 51. And verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And then in verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions, I acknowledge that. And verse 4, against thee, thee alone have I sinned and done this evil. You may wonder, why would I go there? Why? I wonder, and this is just a thought of mine, and I think we could all possibly say that we could ask ourselves this question and also possibly say that, yes, this is something that we as humans do struggle with. When things go right, when things are well, we have food on the table, we have clothing, we have enough money, we can even go buy ourselves that snowmobile, that boat, and so on and so forth that we've wanted so badly. And things go so well, we just keep going and keep going. We tend to kind of slip away from spending time with the Lord. And you know, this morning, I don't want you to hear this, that I'm opposed to going away for the weekend. But my question is, when we do that, do we also spend time Sunday morning together as a family, fellowshipping at the campground with the Lord? Or is that put aside? Psalm David had an army out there working for him. They were out there on the front line in this war. And the Psalm David stayed at home. Psalm David, I would say, had not lifted himself up to the Lord, but rather went up on his housetop and he lusted towards another woman. Where was his time spent? And why, you may wonder, why am I going to these things? I want us to see that, or understand that there is a time in life that we all struggle, just as well as David, struggle with sin in our life. But when we acknowledge our shortcomings, when we acknowledge that we have done wrong, and we plead with God, as Psalm 51 says, and he writes further in verse 10 of Psalm 51, David says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." I don't know, but I'm thinking that maybe David started to, at times, to drift away from God. It doesn't tell us that necessarily. But maybe he started to get a little bit full of himself as a leader of a king. And God allowed him to fail badly. But God gave an opportunity to repent. God has given our land, our global world, a time to repent. What is the thought of the whole world? Where have we come to be at today? Is the money something that we need to survive? Or is the money the love that we have fallen into? What did David fall into? Did he fight the battle with the rest? Or did he go on his own? Stay back. He recognizes it, and he asks God for a clean heart. And then he's asking God, renew that spirit. Today I would ask, or I would ask myself, has God withdrawn a spirit that he will not give it to me? And as I have sinned, can I call out to him and say, God, renew a right spirit within me? A spirit of thankfulness, a spirit of praise to God. David goes on in verse 12 and 13, and he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." It's free. Restore that joy. He lost some of his joy. How many of us have lost our joy in this last year? You know, it's something that my wife and I have to remind ourselves numerous times between us. Let's not let the devil bring us down and make us anxious, cause us depression. Let's be careful. Let's rather go out and let's try to talk of those positive things. And you're saying to this morning, hey, are you doing that? I just want to ask us, make us mindful. What can we do? What can we do? I'll tell you what Paul or David says here. Again, I will repeat one verse. Verse 12 and then verse 13. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then, this is what David says he will do. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. He's asking God, give me that spirit back again, and I will teach others. Have you thought of that? We know the song, created me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. These are the verses right after that. We want that joy. We want to give that joy to others. We want to go out there, and we want to teach others the way. Just look at Psalm 51. He's down. He's pleading God. And then we look into Psalm 103, and he is blessing the Lord. He has his heart, his soul is there to bless God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And then he says, let's not forget all his benefits. What was your benefit and mine this year? What did we get out of our crops, of our gardens, out of the fields? Are we praising God for what we have received? I can look at our home pantry in Deitch, they call it Anzakoma, and I just see how my wife has canned and put preserved stuff to put on the shelves, ready for the months through the winter and for early next year before the crop comes again. What a benefit we have to be able to grow that. Maybe not everyone can travel as much as others, but I'm going to say about 5 years ago, I can't remember exactly. We traveled, we did a boat cruise, which I've never done before in our life, but we traveled down the Caribbean, and I honestly don't remember all the places we were. I don't remember the names of it. But I remember going to some of those poor areas. And we could say we are rich. We in Canada are rich. And ending up at those places, we saw how those people lived, and the smiles on their faces was amazing. We heard that they have an income of $300 US a month, and that's what they live off. Can any of you do that? $300 US a month and live off that. And they were smiling. They were washing their clothes in the creek beside the road where we were walking. And they were happy. Possibly better praising God and saying to them also, to saying to that same God that we can, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all the benefits. Look, the benefits we have. We have water. We could wash our clothes. We have enough to eat, and they're satisfied. You know, the one thing that we should never forget, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. David knew what he was writing about. He knew that the iniquities, the sins that were in his life, he was forgiven. And as verse 4 says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He has mercy. He's recrowning. He's giving that crown of loving kindness to go out and love. You and I have the same thing available. And my hope is that every one of us have that crown on us, and that is love. Some may ask during this time, can we praise God because of division in the church, because of division in the families, because of division at work, because of the time we're living in? Then ask yourself, if you've been redeemed from destruction by Jesus Christ, if you have him, he is the one that crowns us with loving kindness. Let's use that to renew the strength of those that need renewed strength. In Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20 to 22. Jeremiah 8, verse 20 to 22. He writes this: the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? I won't take the time to go back, but briefly tell you a little bit what happened here. They were required, according to the laws of Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and all those back in the time for Moses and for Joshua and so on, to carry this out, to give forth a tenth. And there was three times that they were supposed to give a tenth, and I'm hoping that I have all my numbers correct here, but the first time was at the end of the barley harvest, and the next one was at the end of the wheat, and the last one was at the end of... Right now that one's gone for me. But there's three times that they were to bring in a portion of the goods. They were asked to do that same thing here that did not change, that was still meant to be for them at that time. Today it's different, but at that time it was still required. And then Jeremiah writes this, he says, the harvest has passed. For them, it would possibly be the end of October, maybe end of September. I'm not sure what their time was exactly. But for us, we can maybe consider it now. The harvest is past. We kind of celebrate this Thanksgiving Day as a thankfulness of the harvest that we've had this last year. The harvest has passed. The summer has ended, is what he says here. And we are not saved. We are not saved. Through this year, and having read this, I've been asked, thought of a question, and that is, we've had a harvest. The summer's ended. But when he says we are not saved, what does he mean? What does he mean? I look at it this way. And when you study back into that chapter, and especially if you go back in verse 6 of chapter 8, he says this, and I hearkened and I heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? They're like, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into battle. They didn't even acknowledge that they were continuing to live in sin and they had not brought in their portion that was required of them for the Lord. And so no man repented of his wickedness. They just kept on living. Through this year that we've gone through, do we see more and more people repenting? That's a good question, isn't it? Or do we see that there's less and less people caring, but rather going along with the world's sin? Mennonites. Growing up, and I think most of us could agree with this, being of the older group, I could call myself, looking back to my young years, teenage years, if there was a Mennonite that had divorced, remarried, you could count that almost on one hand. I'm a bit exaggerating, but it was very rare. Today, amongst the Mennonites, adultery has grown a lot. Do you agree? Is that all? How about homosexuality? What's happening to our Mennonite people in homosexuality life? He says here, no man repented of his wickedness. And they're asking, what have I done? What's wrong? Judge not, otherwise you get judged. The harvest is past. The summer has come to an end. And we are not saved, is what Jeremiah writes. What have we done with our life this summer? Have we, through the summer, just looked at the thought that we want to have our bins full? We want our granaries full and be like the man out of the parable that Jesus uses in Luke chapter 12. Oh, I've got so much grain. Let me break down my old machine sheds and I will build bigger grain bins and I'll fill them back and I'll just relax and sit back and have a joy. We could say have a party. And then Jesus, what a fool, he says. What a fool. What if I call for his life? These two, this summer they've wasted. The harvest is past and they didn't turn to God. He says, I am black. In other words, what he's saying, I'm depressed. I'm discouraged, is what Jeremiah is saying. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. I can't believe it. This summer, too, with everything that we've been going through, my prayer was that so many more would come to the true knowledge of God. And I have to ask myself a question. Has that really happened? I don't want to be negative today morning. I apologize if that's what you take it as. But I have a question. Are there more that have come to repentance at the end of the summer? God is speaking. He's given us less of a crop. Is he not saying, I am in control? Come to me. I believe God is begging for us to come, the ones that have not repented. Isaiah chapter 5. Verse 3 and 4. Isaiah 5, 3 and 4. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judea, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could I have done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes? He's asking, this vineyard that I have, what more could I have done? We are a part of the vineyard. What more could God have done that it should bring forth grapes? Has it done that? Has it brought forth grapes of praise and glory to God? Or has it brought forth wild grapes? Before I go on with the message this morning, I'm going to give us all an opportunity to pray. Pray what's on your heart. I could give you all kinds of ideas, but you know. But before we do go in prayer, I have a prayer request here for Jared Heinrichs. Many of you may know him here, but I'm going to share this with you as a prayer request, please. Please pray for Jared Heinrichs, who is 22 years old and in a coma at Halstein Center. Jared was involved in the semi-truck accident on Highway 75. Jared is from Rosengart and has three siblings. Please pray for him and his family that he may recover from his injuries. Let's keep him in mind as we pray. And for those that are able together with me, let's kneel in a silent word of prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Take your blue book and turn to number 297, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Could we stand?
Amen.
Thank you. Having shared what Jeremiah writes about the summer coming to an end, we are not saved. They did not do their part. God had asked them for a certain thing to do, to bless God and return with the blessing that they got. Today, the time we live in the New Testament, I cannot see necessarily that Jesus himself says directly that we all have to give exactly 10%. I cannot today preach that to you truthfully, saying this is what you have to do. But I can tell you what Jesus says to the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23, verse 23. Matthew 23, verse 23. Jesus says to the scribes and Pharisees, he says, "Ye hypocrites, for ye pay," I'll back up, "woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Jesus says the weightier matters of them are to have judgment, matters of the law are judgment, mercy, and faith. What mercy do we have on those around us? And do we have faith? Do we stand in the faith that God will help us what we need next year? Or have we torn down our bins this year and built bigger bins, according to Luke chapter 12? We stored up for the whole year, and friends, I don't want you to totally misunderstand me, but retirement. Have we stacked away so much money that we think we're going to live to 80 or 90? And we have a hard time when it comes to the collection in church for the poor to put money in that box, because we might need that money for retirement. He says, let's have the weightier matters. Let's have mercy and let's have faith. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 27, the first part reads as follows. Proverbs 15, verse 27. "He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house." He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Have we had a good year? Have we remembered all the benefits we had? As David writes in Psalm 103, "Forget them not." What are we to do? Are we to be greedy of the gain and just keep it for ourselves? The proverb writer says we trouble our own house. Proverbs 21, verse 24. 26. Proverbs 21, 24 to 26. "Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not." The one who's just proud about himself and scornful, he's one, as I understand what the writer is writing here, refuse to give to others. They refuse to labor. They refuse to give, go work extra to make sure there's enough for others. They covet greedily all the day long. They're never satisfied. They're jealous. They want more, like the next one has. They want to be richer and richer. But he says, the righteous giveth and spareth not. Are you and I One, that lay ourselves up money here on earth, where moth and rust doth destroy it, or laying up for us a treasure in heaven. Which are we doing? Let's go to Ecclesiastes. It's the book right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 9 to 11. Ecclesiastes 5, 9 to 11. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is all vanity. It's all empty. It's nothing. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The love of money. When we live in that, it's all vanity. It's all going to turn to nothing. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 12. 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 12. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. How many people, because of the love of money, are depressed people? Possibly this year because maybe the crops didn't go the way they wanted them. And they had full intentions with that money to buy a certain farm machinery, to be out there boastful. Look what I got, which the neighbor doesn't have. The love of money is the root of evil. Having money is not wrong, but the love of it is wrong. First Timothy 6, again, verse 17 to 19 reads as follows. This is something Paul is telling Timothy to do, and this morning I want to share this with you. The blessing that we've had this year, let's think of these words that Paul says to Timothy, and I am sharing with you. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. In other words, we are willing to share. We're ready to give of that which we have been blessed with, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Not on their grain bin, full of grain not being shared. But they laid up their treasures. They laid up that with God to hold on to eternal life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. And Jesus says this, Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's speak about the Lord to our children. Let's implant who Jesus is and who God is in our children, building treasures into them and into eternal life, preparing them for heaven. And last, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountiful shall reap also bountiful. Every man according to his purpose, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. What are you going to sow? He says, he that soweth sparingly will reap sparingly. He'll only reap a little. But he that sows lots will get lots. If I put a quarter bushel an acre of wheat seed in the ground, my crop is going to be small. But if I put a 2 to 2.5 bushels of wheat seed in the ground, there's a chance of getting a bigger crop. If we have the right good year, it makes a difference. What have we done with those blessings that we have been blessed with this year? What have we prepared ourselves for? Just for the present, or are we preparing for that which is to come in the future? And so in closing, I want to go back to Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the evening eagles. Let's not forget the blessing that we had. Let's bless the Lord for everything, all the benefits, who has healed, who has forgiven our iniquities, and is there for us. Let's trust him. And I pray this morning that we will have been touched to be willing to give that which we thought we needed to hold back for next year. Give and trust the Lord that he's going to have plenty for you next year. Read Malachi chapter 3. God says, you have robbed me. And Malachi says, with what? What have we robbed you? And he says, with tithes and offering. You haven't given. You haven't offered your time for the Lord. Let's trust him. He says, he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we will not have room to receive it. Trust the Lord as we give. And so my wish is for everyone that if we have been blessed this year, we thank God for that. And with that blessing, to give a portion back to God, to whom it belongs. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. This time of year is a reminder of us how we have been blessed, and we thank you for that. There's again, we could say, we are a land that has been blessed in many ways. Even maybe we could say the crops weren't as good, but there's still many areas that had very good crops. And I can't remember which country it is, but apparently there's a country, a deacon from our church shared this with us. There's a country in the world that is so poor that when they gather together, they will often put their hands on a map on the spot of Canada, lay their hands on Canada, and they pray to God that God would continue to bless Canada with crops so that they have food to eat in their country. Lord, I pray that we will be mindful that we will be willing to give. We've been blessed, and we through that show you thanksgiving with our heart by giving freely, not in a grudging way, but in a way that we freely want to give so that others can continue to be blessed. You've blessed us as a country, and we pray, Lord, that you would help us to bless others that we are to bless in your name. Thank you for this morning's blessing to be here, and may everyone be blessed and go home and be a blessing, I pray, Lord, in your name. Amen. If there's anything else that you have on your heart that you'd like to share with the Lord, praiseworthy item, let's do that. Let's give it to God. Let's thank him, and whatever's on your heart, pray for that. And so for those that are able together with me, let's kneel in a solid word of prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Take your blue books and turn to number 447. Send the light.
Calvin, for sharing what God had put on your heart. Thank you very much. Just a reminder that clubs and youth and the adult Bible study will be starting this coming Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Also, young adult Bible study will be starting on October 18th, I believe. Yep, 18th at 7:30 p.m. Just a reminder that the annual church meeting will be on October 19th at 7:30 p.m. You're all very welcome to join us, for we have some important things to discuss. one of which is there'll be a discussion between the local ministerial, or after a discussion between the local ministerial and Sunday school superintendents regarding the decrease in enrollment. We would like to present a proposal to address this issue. We propose to go from our current Sunday morning service, our current Sunday morning services, to a 9 a.m. service, which would be about 30 to 40 minutes long in German, no Sunday school. And then there would be an English 10 a.m. service with Sunday school. So we're just going to be discussing this at the annual meeting and possibly voting on it as well. So please make this a matter of importance and come to the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming prayerfully, ending prayerfully, but let's not end there. Let's keep praying for one another. So I want to thank you again for coming this morning and bless your soul for that. Let's close with the benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you and me from falling, to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Thank you for coming. May God bless you as you leave.